The church has celebrated this festival of Mary's birth since the 6th century. And of course, the 8th of September is the day that we celebrate this feast, because on the 8th of December, 9 months earlier, we celebrate the feast of the Immaculate Conception. And as we think of this day, I want to think particularly about how Mary's birthday helps us to celebrate the imminence of God. The word imminence is a word related to the Latin word manere, which means manor. What is a manor? A manor is a house, a dwelling place where someone resides. And so on this day, we celebrate the birthday of Mary, and in so doing, we can celebrate the fact that God dwells very close to us. Now, I debated whether or not to read the longer passage today, and I decided against it, given that we don't have a lot of time. But I would suggest at some point you might actually read the genealogy that begins Matthew's gospel, because there's something significant about how this gospel begins. Matthew begins by saying that Jesus is the son of David, and he is the son of Abraham. And of course, he also mentions that he is the Messiah. Then at the end of the genealogy, we have this verse: Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. And here's the point I'm wanting you to see, that in the genealogy, it begins with reference to Jesus as the Messiah, and the genealogy ends with reference to him being the Messiah. And there's a technical device that Matthew uses repeatedly. It's called an inclusio. An inclusio is like a bracket that begins and ends something. And what's the inclusio in the genealogy? The reference to Jesus being the Messiah. It's there at the beginning, it's there at the end of the genealogy. And of course, the thing that Matthew wants us to see by emphasizing his messiahship is that now, after 2,000 years, God has become a person in Jesus Christ, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. And for Matthew, this is such an important theme that the very first name he gives to designate who Jesus is, in quoting from the prophet Isaiah, is he is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, flip to the very end of Matthew's gospel in your mind. Chapter 28. The very last words of Matthew's gospel are these words of Jesus: Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Remember, I used this word inclusio a minute ago to talk about how the genealogy begins with reference to the Messiah and ends with reference to the Messiah? Well, Matthew's whole gospel includes another inclusio. Jesus saying at the end of the gospel, I am with you always to the end of the age. And in chapter 1, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And so here's the amazing thing about our Christian faith, is this understanding that God in Jesus chooses to come amongst us through taking creatures and dwelling in them. And as we celebrate the birthday of Mary, we celebrate this wonderful fact of the closeness of God, that the God that we profess is the God who took Mary, the creature, and he prepared her to become the divine dwelling place, the manor where God would come. God is so close to us that at every Mass, he takes the creatures of bread and wine, and they become the body and blood of Christ. God is so close to us that at every Mass, he says, I want your soul to become my manor. As you receive me sacramentally, body and blood, soul and divinity, I want your very life to become my dwelling place. And the beautiful thing about our Catholic faith is that we understand this amazing continuity. From the beginning to the end and in the middle, God is truly with us. He is so imminent that our soul, which is eternal, is the place where he now wants to dwell. St. Paul understood the reality of this and the implication of this, that he was able to say, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And again, let's think about our Blessed Mother in that passage that I did read from the Gospel. To announce that God is with us kind of makes everything very messy. It made it very messy for Joseph. It must have made it very messy for Mary, because it brought in complexity, confusion, and even misunderstanding. I am sure there are many people who misunderstand you. They just don't get the fact why you're a Catholic. They don't get the fact why you come to Mass every day. You might have a husband, a wife, a family member who says, what is this all about? It seems that your faith in some ways complicates your life, that God gets in the way. And it's not that God gets in the way. It's that we want to make the way for God, to be able to live in us and to live through us. And so St. Paul was able to say that God works for good. God works for good even in hardship and pain. And when we think of our Blessed Mother, she was one who experienced so profoundly the hardship and pain of her son's passion. But remember, Mary lived for many years after our Lord's death. She might have also experienced the hardship and the pain of some of the martyrdom that his apostles experienced. Mary's life was one that was not devoid of the reality of suffering. But because she understood that everything is according to God's purpose and working together for good, she was able to say, I am the manor where God dwells. Her birthday celebrates not only the fact that she is the manor where the dwelling place of God is to reside, but that our own lives become more and more that very place where we pray, Jesus, be born in me this day, so that in the ambiguity and in the complexity of my life, you would work out your good purposes. And let me end with this thought. Mary's birthday allows us to say that our birthdays have significance. And the reason why Mary's birthday has significance, the reason why our birthdays have significance, is because of the birthday of Emmanuel, the birthday of Jesus. Our birthdays, Mary's birthday, find their true meaning in relation to Jesus' birthday. Mary, pray for us so that we may evermore know the imminence of God, the presence of God, that we may become manors where Jesus dwells.